Community Center Faye Jensen Room. Rules of conduct, item two. All cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. They will refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. And you will be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions, and also please refrain from any speech of a political nature. Okay, we will call the roll. Director Price?
Here.
Director Strotska?
Here.
Director Anderson?
Here.
Director Dole?
It's Doyle, and I am here virtually.
Excuse me. And I'm Director Donahue, the chair. We have a full board tonight. Okay, the meetings of January 6, 2025, the special meeting, this is item four. Were there any additions or corrections that anyone saw? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
I move that we approve the minutes of the special meeting on January 6, 2025.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the January 6, 2025 special meeting minutes. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Hearing none. Motion carried unanimously. Item 4B, January.
Point of order. I believe that Director Doyle should abstain from approving these minutes because he wasn't actually on the board during this meeting.
Right, that's true.
Abstain, okay.
Okay.
Okay, Dan?
Yeah, you're correct, as usual, Ann.
Okay, the minutes will be approved as amended.
Well, the minutes were not amended. We just changed the vote.
The vote,
because
yeah.
He had to abstain instead of voting aye to
okay.
approve the minutes.
All right. Minutes for B, January 14th, 2025, regular business meeting. Are there any additions or corrections? Dan, did you notice anything?
I did not notice anything.
Okay, in that case, hearing no objections, I would entertain a motion.
I move that the minutes of the January 14th, 2025 business meeting be approved as presented.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to approve the January 14th, 2025 regular business meeting minutes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. You say aye, Dan, or nay?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Motion carried. Item five, financial report. The accounts payable for January 15th and January 31st, 2025. Are there any questions?
I have questions.
Go ahead, Dan.
Well, you're going to have to forgive me for being the new guy and not knowing whether the questions are appropriate during the meeting. But I have about four questions on the expenses side. The first question would be, on page one, there was an expense to Zolio, which I assume is some sort of messaging service. I'm not sure what that is for.
Yeah, that is our solution to the fact that we don't have pagers anymore. We don't have a provider that really supports that technology anymore. And living here in Pacific City, there are a lot of places surrounding us that do not have any cell phone service. So these Zolios are the equivalent of a satellite pager that we issue to our on-call staff so that we can reach them reliably even in no cell phone service zones.
Okay. Everybody probably knew that except me.
That's all right.
I do have a couple more questions. The Cherry City Electric charge of $6,900 and change, that was a lift station transfer switch. I think it's noted, I don't have the expense sheet in front of me. I think it was noted as a repair, but was it a replacement of the switch, John, or a repair of an existing transfer switch?
No, this was actually a replacement of a faulty transfer switch at our Roger lift station.
Okay.
Yeah, we discovered the
amount of money.
Yeah, we discovered the problem when we were installing the new control panel down there, and we ordered a replacement, and we had it put in, and we're back in business there, but that was that expense.
Okay. Another item, page one, Springbrook Software. Is that a new software or an ongoing subscription fee?
Well, I believe it's an ongoing subscription fee, although we are in the process of migrating that program to a cloud-based version. And there are some fees associated with that migration as well. Depending on which charge it is and how much, it's either an annual subscription fee, or it is fees related to that cloud migration.
It might be a monthly subscription fee.
I think it's annual, actually.
Okay,
I have to look at the line item here.
$390 water operating and sewer operating.
Well, that's...
It's the finance software that...
Yeah, it's our finance software that that tracks our customer accounts and so forth. And for that price, I think that's a monthly subscription fee. Rochelle gives her apologies. She wasn't able to be here today. Otherwise, she could confirm that. But based on the price, I'm guessing that's a monthly subscription fee, Dan.
That's fine. As long as I didn't have a complete question, I wondered what software it was for, and I think Ann just addressed that as being the financial software.
Yep.
It runs everything.
Okay. All right. Page two, global network support, monthly maintenance. That was almost $1,000, and I'm just wondering if that's something, hey, I got a problem with the network today kind of service, or is there something more to that network support?
Well, that's definitely a monthly fee for network support. It involves 8 or 9 desktop workstation computers, as well as our primary file servers. And it's a support contract for not just for patches and updates and just for them to manage our network environment, but also to provide us with a method to call and get technical assistance if we're having any trouble with those systems.
Okay, so it pretty much covers anything related to having issues with computers then.
Yeah, there are some out of scope possibilities, but for the most part, that covers all of our most of our typical needs.
Okay, couple more points here. CenturyLink, Wave, Verizon. I had a conversation with Rochelle sometime back about that, and she answered and said CenturyLink is primarily the wastewater treatment plant because at the time Astound did not have hard lines, which is needed for the FEMAX and the telemetry at the well fields for alarming and so forth. And it, she said Astound is primarily for our internet and phones between both Wharton Creek and the wastewater treatment plant. My question is there ever a possibility that everything can be wrapped into one server, whether it's Starlink or Spectrum or something along?
Yeah, I think I got the gist of your question. We have been wanting to move in that direction for some time, although there still continues to be some roadblocks in order for us to do that. I do believe we now have fiber to Horn Creek, but there are still some logistical reasons why we haven't quite been able to consolidate all that into a single provider and a single plan. I would say, between you or I, let's circle back with Rochelle and get some clarification on that. But that's my understanding. There's still some logistical obstacles there.
Okay, I may have to come back to some questions because I'm in a bad coverage area. Can you still read me there?
Yes.
Oops. Okay, two entries. Page 4. Oregon Department of Justice. I assume that those are employee garnishment fees.
For child support.
They're labeled as child support.
Yes.
Those are employee, whether it garnishments or contributions, but those are related to employees.
All right, that's all I need on that.
I'd like to cut in here just for a second, Dan.
Or as well, the Oregon State. Go ahead. I think I'm talking over you.
I'd just like to cut in just for a second. I noticed that we have Tim Hirsch has just come online at approximately 5:11.
Oh, good.
Go ahead on, please. Dan?
Okay, good. Three more questions, if I might be allowed.
Go ahead.
Sure.
One, page 4, Oregon State University, soil testing. Remind me, John, where is that? What and where is that testing done? And is it just a normal monthly, weekly, or whatever?
It's an annual requirement where we actually take soil samples from individually from the 5 fields that the authority owns out in Beaver that are used for our biosolids land application. And because they are biosolids land application fields, we have to take annual soil samples to determine the nutrient levels that we are loading the fields with to ensure that we don't exceed the recommended nutrient loadings on those field sites.
Okay, that's ringing a bell now, John. You had mentioned that when we did our plant tour. Sorry.
It's okay.
Two more, page 4. Mission Communications, BC Lift Station. Annual fee, is that for telemetry for something that's running over the bridge?
Yeah, that's for our radio telemetry systems out at our more remote locations, which are those small lift station sites. You may recall seeing one or two of those on your recent tour. And although it says Beachy, I think that's a monthly fee for all of our remote telemetry sites that use that mission control platform.
Okay. That's really all that I have, other than to one thing I'd like to express is the desire to better, and we do this, I could do this offline, is to better understand the benefit package and whatnot for the employees, just to better understand, you know, what the district actually provides in a benefit package. I see several entries for what appears to be retirement benefits and so forth, but I'd just like to get a better handle on that at some point in time.
Sure, anytime, just swing by, give us a call. We'll be happy to go over that with you.
Okay, that's all I had on the expense. I'm going to mute myself now.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay, I do have one, just a comment on the special district's insurance for your property, I think it's property and casualty. Is there a reason why you split it into two equal payments like that?
Two different funds.
Water and sewer.
Oh.
They each pay half of this annual.
Yeah. Of course.
So yeah, when
sorry,
and because of that, those
it's hard
reasons,
to get used to.
Yeah, because of those reasons, you'll notice what appears to be duplicate entries a lot in here.
Right, right.
And yeah, it's just our need to split those between a water and a sewer fund.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they are individually applied charges that, you know, this is only for a lift station or whatever,
yeah, yeah.
But for these ones that are more blanket and universal, yeah, they get split 50-50.
Nope.
Yeah.
All right. I had one question on page 4. We have a parametrics bill for $2,233.76 for January 31st billing for an SWTRLRW spreadsheet. Acronyms are something that doesn't sit well with me. I was wondering what the heck that is.
Well, it's a little complicated. I'll try to explain
that way
it the
there's
best
so
I
many
can.
Letters.
Well, there's a parameter that the state of Oregon has asked us to start reporting on, which is the LRV, which is log removal value, which is a measure of our treatment facilities performance in removing pathogenic microorganisms like Cryptosporidium and Giardia. And we have to meet a certain level of, I want to call it disinfection, but in this case it's really called inactivation of these pathogenic microorganisms. And our PLCs, our programmable logic controllers, I've always calculated it, but never in a manner where we could see it or we could get our hands on it and be able to report it on a daily basis to the state as part of our monthly compliance reporting. And so that was something we had to add we never really had the ability to do. And that took some help from a controls and automation engineer from Parametrics. One nice thing about Parametrics is they have technical expertise, people with expertise in a lot of areas. And we oftentimes utilize one of those folks for if we need to do some PLC programming, if we need to do some SCADA configuration, or in this case, when we need a little bit of both. And so not only has he brought that value in to us via a report that he has created so that our operations staff, regardless of who's operating Horn Creek at the time, can go in and see that value every day, and at the end of the month they can easily report out the entire month's worth of readings for that value, and then we can then report those to the state. So we have to meet a certain level of inactivation, which is that LRV value is that's what it represents. And we're required to report that to the state of Oregon now on a daily basis as part of our monthly compliance regulatory report.
So is this a monthly spreadsheet?
This is a one-time charge that we will be able to use. We'll be able to access this information going forward with no additional charge. He's set up a system where we can easily retrieve it, and we can easily apply it to our monthly reports.
Thank you. Are there any other questions about accounts payable for January 15th and January 31st, 2025? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that the accounts payable for January 15th and January 31st, 2025 be approved as presented.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second to accept accounts payable for January 15th, January 31st of this year. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nay.
Aye.
Motion carried unanimously. On our general ledger for fiscal year 24-25, does anyone have any questions? Okay. We'll move on to item six, manager's report. John?
Thank you, Tom. For the last several months, I've been talking a little bit about our unaccounted for water numbers with the disclaimer each time that we're actively flushing water lines combined with several water leaks that we've had each month, which does make it a little hard to calculate that value with any with a high degree of confidence. As I mentioned, you know, usually we try to complete our water main flushing program. We do it once a year. We try to complete it in a single month because it does have, if it gets dragged out, well, then it does have prolonged effect on our monthly unaccounted for water calculations. The good news is we have completed that finally. It was all completed during the month of January, and we haven't had any water leaks so far in February.
Yay.
So we should be able to get a strong baseline number again for this parameter, beginning with next month's calculations. The estimated calculations we made indicate that our unaccounted for water numbers has improved over the prior couple of months. But again, so much depends on our ability to accurately estimate how much water hits the ground when we're flushing hydrants, or how much water leaked out of a pipe when we discover a water leak, and many times not knowing how long that water leak had actually persisted before it was found and repaired. But I'm confident that our numbers are going to improve with the reliability of that data, and it's been 3 months since I've been able to report that parameter with any real level of confidence. So I'm happy to report that beginning next month we should be back in a period of time where we don't have a lot of interfering factors.
Excuse me, just a second. I notice that we have Jason Stewart, Jeff Peppinger are also online. It's approximately at 5:23.
So I wanted to mention something about that. Hunter, one of our newest employees, doing a great job for us, just completed a six-month probationary employment period. We are happy to welcome him as a official full-time member of the staffing roster.
Hey,
he's a great addition, and not to let the cat out of the bag too early, but we did have one employee get a certification here just within the last couple of days.
Oh, really?
So I'll put a little blurb about that in the manager's report next month.
Please give them our congratulations. Yes. I speak for the board.
Yeah. It's you know, it's always an achievement when you pass one of these exams. Yeah. They're not easy, and they can be stressful, and so I'm glad that we're still seeing people go after these as they become eligible. So I wanted to mention that.
I know that, I forget his name now, Herleman, right? And he's not met his 6 months.
Yeah.
But are we fully staffed?
We are fully staffed.
Count him as a, okay.
Yes, okay. We are fully staffed. And I might add, he's doing a great job too.
Yeah.
So. Okay. He's still got at least a few months left, but he's doing a great job.
Great.
So
I thought we were fully staffed, so that's fabulous.
Yes, we're happy about that, and we'll hope we can maintain that for a good long while. Mm-hmm. I'm confident we can.
Good.
So.
Okay.
The only other thing I wanted to mention, I forgot to put it on there. I think I did briefly say something about the South Tillamook County Emergency Volunteer Corps. The emergency supply shed has been placed at its location near our 100K reservoir, and they have begun to the process of supplying it. So I don't think it's fully supplied, but it is well on the way. We've got a little bit of fence work to still do as part of that. I think all the board members will remember that our ultimate goal was to cordon off a corner of that property,
right,
so that they could have unimpeded access. And not only will they have unimpeded access, but we will not be in a position where we'll have various people potentially having keys to the rest of the compound, which houses a lot of our infrastructure. So once that, I call it relatively minor fencing work, is done, that particular project, other than whatever ongoing maintenance is needed by the Emergency Volunteer Corps, our efforts with that is largely done. And I did see that there was a write-up of the PC Sun that I think was a very good article that explained a little bit about what it is and why we went this direction. And I think it definitely gave props to both us and the Emergency Volunteer Corps for the efforts to promote community emergency preparedness. So that was the only other thing I wanted to mention. I forgot to put anything about that in the manager's report, but that's about it for this month, Tom.
Well, thank you, John. Okay, let's move on to item 7, unfinished business. We don't have anything there, but I did want to check because it was in last month's meeting about the status of our generator buildings.
Yeah, we should have, this has taken a while, we should have the final design within a month. Once we get the final design, we'll work on obtaining quotes from contractors. This will not require a formal bid process, but it will require certainly three good cost estimates or quotes from different contractors that we will review and then award this project. Our intent is largely to treat these as individual projects instead of one big project.
Yeah.
Because this will last for at least several months before all of these enclosures have been constructed. And the one at the 100K has a little more complexity than the others because that one will have an auto transfer switch so that we don't have to drive out and manually throw the switch, which is needed at the 100K because those booster pumps, we want continually supplying pressure up to the Ridge Road area and other areas like that. Should have the plans within a month, and we'll begin the process of lining up a contractor for the work. These jobs will be done by the end of the summer. So, and it'll be a welcome improvement on a number of fronts. So,
thank you.
Yeah, that's the best I can update you about that, Tom.
Okay, cool. All right, any other unfinished business? Anybody has anything on their mind? Okay, we'll move on to item 8, new business. We have an upgrade to our resolution, ongoing resolution for board member duties and responsibilities. And John has put together in our packet a foreword to include the new addition. And I had a couple of suggestions. If we approve this today, I believe this would be resolution 2501. I don't believe we've have any other resolutions before it this year. But I noticed on the first page of this resolution that the footer wasn't updated. And it said, the old one is said approved by Board of Directors August 13, 2024. That incorporated the last time we did this.
I didn't catch that.
What, where?
The footer.
Did you see that?
On the
footer.
Bottom of the page.
The bottom of the page.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Is that the preamble page, Tom?
Yeah, the preamble page.
It's on all the pages.
When this was originally done, this was a WordPerfect document. And when you put the footer, I noticed when you put the footer in, because this was such a deep document, it was 70-some pages, it only covered half of it. But that's just the software. There was no other way I could do it. But we do need to change it, especially for the front part.
Yes, I agree. I miss that.
And I wouldn't really think the footer necessary? Because the cover page has the official.
Well, our other documents seem to have a footer in resolutions.
Well, I actually think most of them don't.
I haven't noticed that before. I've never noticed one.
If it's all right with the board, I'll look at our last dozen or so, and if we don't see a footer on those, would the board be all right?
I think it just introduces
a complexity that's not necessary.
Because each of these resolutions has a date, operating date anyway.
Mm-hmm. And the vote and the signatures and
everything else.
The other thing I had was on the form. Your intent was to make it a travel and training request form for both employees and for board members. And I just had a couple of suggestions on about the first line under the name and date. It says purpose of training. I was thinking of after training, put a / business travel. So purpose of training or business travel, because it refers to both and the same as type of training. And then under the next section, it says training course information. I think we could change that with a / after training and say business travel information, training course information, / business travel information. And then it says under that, it says course name. We say course name or event name.
Course / event.
Name.
Yeah.
And at the date, the sponsor, eventer sponsor, event date or training date, or event location, training or event location.
Right.
I think that would make it a more general purpose.
It's not always going to be specifically just for training. It's going to be training or just
business. An event like, you know, an SDAO convention or something like
Things
that.
Things along those lines, sure.
So then I've got one thing, I don't know. At the bottom, it's got authority manager approval. Mm-hmm. So for the board, are you approving us, or is it going to be board chair approval? Or?
It doesn't matter to me. I think it's...
Because I think it needs to be authority manager approval for you, for the staff, mm-hmm. and it needs to be board chair or something.
I don't think the board if really... it's permission for the board chair, then there'd have to be the vice chair. That's a, in practice, but I don't know how we would reflect that on the form.
Do you really we're board members. Do you really think that we need to approve our own travel?
Well, it made sense the way it is because he's the budget officer and he's approving the money that's spent.
That makes sense.
So it made perfect sense to me to have it be with his approval signature.
Yeah, I am the steward of the dollars. So, you know, there has to be...
Individual board members are not. Yeah. And so... I think it makes sense the way it is.
Yeah, it's not really a strong jurisdictional thing for me. It's just I feel like it has to be approved. The expenditure has to be approved. Perhaps even the training, in some senses, has to be approved.
Got the budget responsibility.
And so whether it's me or somebody else, I feel like there has to be some oversight and maybe approval. Is too strong a word.
I was going to say, maybe the word should be changed. Authority manager.
Comptroller.
Confirmation. Or, I don't know. Something other than approval.
Give us a thought.
Sure. I
don't know.
Whatever you guys think. Is for me.
We can leave it just
How about you just put authority manager, take approval off, and just with the sign.
And by me signing it, it implies acknowledgement. It's as much acknowledgement as approval.
Right. Yeah. I mean, just take the approval word out there.
There is some language about that probably in the text as well. Which I can also adjust.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just a draft. So,
okay. Well, then we probably shouldn't vote on this today.
Well, do you guys have any other comments about the content of the policy or anything else? We could work something out where. You guys could each shoot me an email if you'd like. I can apply any edit or comment suggestions.
I think the written the statement of policy really covers it all very well. I can't see anything personally. But
I didn't see anything that I would change.
Yeah, it's all pretty standard stuff. It looked, like most. I work for the state, and it's almost word for word like. What the GSA and the state of Oregon use for their reimbursement for employees and supervisors and stuff like that.
Yes, the only thing I would say is the word approval and perhaps in a couple of spots authority managers in the text too. Mm-hmm. So if we want to adjust the form? Not only the form, but also preamble. Anything. I'm seeing a couple of spots here. It talks about pre-approval. It talks about advance approval. It talks about a variety of things. This is an advance of funds, and somebody has to approve that.
Right.
So why don't you just work on cleaning it up a little bit and bring it back at the next meeting then we can get it approved. Yeah. I think.
We don't have an urgent need in the next month.
No. Okay. No, but this is helpful because, you know, whether it's me or Rochelle, you know, board members have approached us in the past about trainings, and, you know, I was always in support of that, obviously, but just didn't know if there were limitations and what those limitations might be, what the guidelines should be. I assumed it would be very similar to what we have for employees. But nonetheless, it was left a lot to be interpreted, and I know that Rochelle and I were both a little uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
So I think this, you know, this legitimizes all of it. It makes sure it's all transparent, and everybody understands how things are calculated for things like mileage and all of those considerations. So
the other thing I noticed in the writing that I liked is that staff would, if like board people wanted to go to like an SDAO meeting or something like that, that staff would help with accommodations. Now, what I've done in the past is I found accommodations, and what the last one happened to be in Seaside, there was only one room left in the whole town. So if staff would do some of that for us, I know they're busy. That's why I didn't bother at the time. But I would appreciate if they helped us with finding accommodations and using the guidelines we've set up.
Well, there's a number of advantages to that. One, we can just take care of everything with the credit card and take care of the class registrations. You know, with the form being filled out, we'll have all the information we need in order to do that. But, you know, there won't be any, hey, you know, be sure you bring the receipt in when you get it. We'll have the receipts right then and there. It'll be paid for and booked right off the bat. And it'll be done in a way that adheres to all guidelines, and there won't be any question about that. It also, if done early enough, provides for the advance of funds for things like mileage and meals, which, you know, is really the way we would like to do that, is to do it in advance instead of arrears and then have to, you know.
About the only thing you'd have left to do is tips that you would, you know, something like that, or parking.
Yeah. You know, there is
a reference to parking in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you are in the hotel and you do things that aren't on this list to be paid for, then those bills are on you and you pay them personally.
Yeah, yeah. You know, for incidentals.
Movies, whatever.
In-room movies, you know, any of those type of things. But it's our preference that you guys let us know what you want and give us the details about it, and let us make the arrangements. It's just, from an accounting standpoint, it just so much cleaner, so much smoother, and I think it's just the way to go. You know, and that's why, you know, even things like hotel, you know, is there a hotel preference? Because we're going to find appropriate accommodations as close to the training site as possible. It'll be, won't be the worst hotel in town, but it won't be the best hotel in town either. It'll be something appropriate for this type of travel. And so, you know, I know that whether it's me or Rochelle, that we look for the best of possible accommodations as close to the training as we can find, without going overboard or any of the other things. So,
yeah.
You all know that you could spend a small fortune on a night in a hotel room. That doesn't mean we should, right?
So, right.
If there are any preferences, you know, right, or special accommodation requests, you know, this is the time on the forum to make that known, and we'll make sure that all gets booked and gets done. You know, two, I want to say it's also important to try to not wait till the last minute and to plan these things, because, as you all know, the further out you book a hotel room, the more likely you're going to find availability and cost.
I found that problem.
You know, wait till the last minute. You may not get the availability you want, and the cost is going to be higher. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we would just ask the board to, you know, try to plan ahead to the extent they can. Sometimes something interesting falls in our laps, but just as a general rule, those are some of the guidelines that the authority would like to see from the board members related to this training and business-related travel expenses.
All right. Sounds great. I think we've got that covered. Come back next month with some changes, and we'll go from there. No further comments. Dan, do you have any comments?
I do not have any comments.
Okay, that was simple. Let's move on to item 8B, Oregon Coast Bank signatories. As you mentioned in your written manager's report, we have a new board member now, so we all got to go back down to the bank and sign a bunch of documents. Last time I did that, usually it was only one document. Last time it was four. So I don't know, they might have some more this time. I'm used to signing checks, but you know, it's getting a little thick down there at the bank. I don't quite understand, but okay.
Well, it is a housekeeping item, and you know, unfortunately, it seems like if just the new person signed that, you know, I mean, you would think that would be enough, yeah. But you know, they have their rules.
Bank record has to have all the signatures on the same page.
They've got their rules, and you know, we all have to abide by those. And luckily, this is Coast Bank. It's not TLC or anything like that.
You don't have to drive far away.
Yeah,
which reminds me,
remembering to do.
I know I haven't signed the last set of minutes. So we approved them tonight. I need to sign those. So I'll go into the shop tomorrow and sign the minutes so that they're good to go. So
they do require documentation of the change.
They have to have the signed minutes
approving
the change. Yes.
And so we'll, as soon as you come and sign those, we'll get those down there, and then at that point, at your convenience, I would say just swing by and take care of that.
Tomorrow, so say Thursday on.
Well, yeah. I was going to suggest, would it be possible for Rochelle to confirm with the bank that the forms to sign are ready, and then shoot us each an email?
Sure.
Because I don't know really what their staffing, their time commitment, and all that is, so...
I think that makes sense.
Get down there and it's not ready,
that
puts pressure on them, and we should be able to tell ourselves if it's ready to sign or not.
Yeah, send us an email, John.
Thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And you mentioned the budget officer. In hindsight, if we had thought of it sooner, that would have been on the agenda for this month. It'll certainly be on the agenda for next month. We do need to assign or elect a budget officer, and it's time to start thinking about that.
Don't we do that at the fiscal year instead of the new year?
Well, we do, but because that the budget process takes some time, there's a lot of individual steps, whether it's a potential budget, you know, it's the budget hearing, and then, you know, the budget meeting and all the things. I think that typically about this time of year, Rochelle likes to have the budget officer identified so that that's behind us and we can move on with the rest of the preparation of the budget documents as well as the budget cycle schedule.
So is Rochelle looking for someone for the budget committee? Because don't we have at least one vacancy?
I think we've got an advertisement out for it, if I'm not mistaken.
I haven't seen it.
You might want to contact...
Maybe we could put that on the agenda for next meeting review that, and we'll be designating a budget officer meeting as well.
We do...
Then we can know how many spaces there are, if any.
Yeah, because Luann went from the budget committee to the board, so I know her slot is available, and then they need to confirm that the other people are still interested.
Yes, for sure.
So that'll be a big part of next.
Well,
the next meeting agenda.
Even if everybody that that either showed up or agreed to show up at the last budget committee, I think we do know that at a minimum we have one position, right? And depending on how, you know, I mean, we might have more depending on whether some of our longtime budget committee members are still want to do it or what have you. But one of the things we always do is I always call up each one and try to twist their arm into doing it again. And most of the time they're happy to, but, you know.
But I think one person didn't show up at the meeting last time.
They did.
They said they were could stand and they didn't show up.
Yeah, and actually one didn't show up the year before either.
Wow.
So, you know, I think we've got a good group if we can secure them again. If they feel like it's something they commit to, they'll have an opportunity to let me know, and then we'll proceed accordingly.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Okay, we'll move on to item 9, guest questions and comments. We have any guests? I guess not.
Online guests?
Let's see.
I don't know.
Yes, we have Tim is an online guest. Tim, if you can hear me, do you have any questions or queries? Not hearing any. Let's move on to chair director comments. Do any of the directors have any comments? Including you, Dan. What do you have? Do you have any comments you'd like to make at this time?
No, I do not have any comments to make at this time.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, I do have one comment. John graciously took Luann and I on a plant tour here several weeks back, and me being a nuts and bolts kind of guy, I really appreciated him taking the time and the amount of time he spent going into some detail that, you know, may normally be over people's head. He took time to explain it, and it was good to get my feet wet. I'm sure Luann probably would agree.
It was a good tour.
Yeah, well, hopefully it was informative, and, you know, when we talk about the spit wells, well, now you don't have to imagine what they look like.
Now I know. They don't look like much.
But I think we were able to cover most of the major parts of the system. We didn't get to everything, but, glad to provide the tour, glad to... appreciate the interest for sure, and I think it'll serve you well in your role, and you know that familiarity is really important, and you know if you ever want any and I'll say this to the whole board, if anybody ever has any technical questions or would like to learn more about some aspect of our operation, let me know, and we'll find a time that we can. You know, we can get together and we can talk about that stuff. So.
Great.
Okay, if there's nothing else, it is now 5:53 and this meeting is adjourned.